Good morning. I'd like to call the July 13th Nassau County Board of Supervisors meeting to order. I'd like to ask all of you to stand to join us in the flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, to start with this morning, we're going to talk about Adopt-A-Pet, and there's good news and bad news. Normally, we feature both a dog and a cat. And someone that works at an animal shelter exercised one of the privileges of working out there and adopted the cat last night. So the cat woke up in a new home, which it accomplished what we wanted to. And so today, we're going to feature Larry. You might want to take Larry out in front so everybody can see him. He's a pretty handsome fella. Larry is looking for a ranch where he can help out. He's a neutered male, 5-year-old black and white border collie. Larry loves to run and has good herding instincts. He is an affectionate dog and would be great for a family with older children. So that's Larry, and he looks pretty friendly. These animals are available today for adoption at the Nassau Animal Services Agency. All dogs and cats available for adoption at the shelter have been spayed or neutered, microchipped, and have all their shots. To adopt this animal, please visit the shelter at 2846 Finch Road in Modesto. The shelter may be reached by phone at 558-7387. All adoptable animals can be viewed at www.stancounty.com/animalservices. Animal services hours have changed. Their hours are Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 5, and closed on Sundays. And why don't we give Larry a hand there? This opportunity now for public comment. There's opportunity for anyone to come forward and make comment to the board regarding items that aren't on the agenda. We have two requests today. First is Tamir Lukman. Tamir, if you could just come forward, please. Morning.
I think they're from Lily Sakid.
Okay.
Good morning, Chairman. And we are here this morning to express some concern about your HIS anti-fraud program. Let me first make it clear that we believe any incident for fraud in the IHSS or any other government program is wrong and should be punished. But we have a number of the question about the so-called anti-fraud program, which the county started without any analysis of a need and without any input from IHS consumers and providers. We recently sent a letter to the Board of the Supervisors asking these questions. Unfortunately, the response we received did not adequately answer many of them. For example, what about the cost effectiveness of this program? Does the county have approved that IHSS fraud in the county is widespread enough to spend the tens of the thousands of the taxpayers' dollars on this anti-fraud program? Despite the outrageous claim of the Governor Schwarzenegger and other political ideologists, there has been no real proof that the fraud rate in IHSS is higher than just 1 or 2% at the most. Does the county have hard evidence to show otherwise? Next, the county has not accurately explained how this program works. How is the fraud defined? How are cases identified for the visit? To whom does the unit submit the reports from the visit? Are they anti-fraud agent uniform and armed? These are important questions. For instance, I hope you can understand how traumatic it is for an elderly Alzheimer's patient to find a uniformed peace officer at his or her front door. We have already heard about some potential abuse in this program. For example, we have heard reports that uniform agents have alternatively reduced a consumer's IHSS hours. How can we know if a uniform agent as opposed to an IHSS social worker has the expertise and training to make these decisions? More importantly, what is the statutory authority that allows uniform agent to penalize IHSS consumers or providers? Mr. Chairman, I repeat, no one wants a fraud in the IHSS program. Home care consumers and providers would willingly work with the county to develop constructive, cost-effective way to find and eliminate any fraud that does exist. Unfortunately, the country has chosen, instead of to undertake a punitive literal program that seems to be driven more by political than by concrete goals and expertise. We will continue to question the board about the justification, statutory authority, and cost effectiveness for this program until we get the real answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else who would care to make public comment? Please state your name.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Harper, and I currently live off of beautiful Langley Drive. Thank you. We have the opportunity to speak here, and it may not always be pleasant or positive, but everything that goes through this podium up here is meant for improvement, progressive, upgrades, pleasant, positive, you know, even though it may be negative input. I'm here to speak this morning about the residency program being rotated through our hospitals. I hear that, I guess Mr. Robinson mentioned that that's one of the requirements for the residency program. I have had the experience of showing up in the two ERs in town, and we have a lot of awesome professional health care providers. Unfortunately, have run into a little bit of unprofessionalism, and it's not to degrade or minimize the facilities and the people working in it. One thing I was very intrigued with was not everybody knows who everybody is, and that's not going to happen in a large facility such as Memorial Hospital or doctors, but I would think that the administration would know each other's administration, especially if they were planning on running a residency program through the different facilities in town. It was clear on my just minimal contact that they weren't clear on who each other was. So respectfully, I hope that we can cross over on the communication, and just in my path as a patient, I think that's going to help facilitate the communication. Unfortunately, the upgrade part isn't in motion yet. Also, in addition to the lack of communication and our unawareness of each other in the community on certain projects, it's like a foundation to build. I'm not speaking as any political agenda here. This is strictly from a patient, actually, in a patient level, because I've ended up in the ER and I have not received the health care. I have a doctor's appointment. Nobody's taking me seriously. The bottom line is I'm getting these mental health labels, which I respect the mental health field immensely, but we have to back up these labels with actual content. The health care is being distracted with these labels, and it's really fascinating to watch it happen. It's amazing. We're human beings. We're just amazing human beings. But you have to back up the labels with content, first of all. And second, you know, it's listen to who you're speaking to in the healthcare field, please. As healthcare providers, you know, and the administration, it's like when somebody says that there's something there, I've had a gazillion people that I've spoken to in the healthcare providing field rationalize it away, talk it away, explain it away. I'm like, gosh, I'm sitting here feeling the symptoms, I'm describing it, and they don't want to hear it. It's like amazing. So I just pray that we can actually, you know, get real with this patient, healthcare provider stuff. I'm really not here to rock anybody's boat, but just the fact that I wrote an addendum to my medical records over inaccurate information in my chart just put me on the political firing squad, because healthcare providers do not understand that it's okay for a patient to disagree with them. They really have a very domineering, controlling micro-macro management in the healthcare field, which is respectfully not conducive to patient care. Okay. So in prayer, just on that field, I just pray that we, you know, I think the residency program will automatically just kind of integrate everything when you initiate that. Is there a start date on that residency program going through the different facilities yet?
And yes, I did want to clarify that the county is no longer the employer of record for the resident physicians, nor does it administer the program any longer. The Valley Consortium for Medical Education is the new administrator of the program and the employer of the residents. And the county is one of several members of the consortium, but is an equal voice and is no longer the lead in the residency program.
Thank you. Also, we've had some ongoing conversations and presentations about sexual harassment. Okay, it's not about me, I'm going to go real quick. I graduated from Oakdale High School in 1976. Okay, it's a few years ago. And was shy my entire life, pretty much, even though it didn't appear that way. It's not about me. For God's glory, I'm going to mention this. It didn't enter my mind that there was even gender discrimination. I was, I guess, one of the oddballs born thinking that human beings interacted with each other as human beings. It took me a lot of years to figure out the gender discrimination and the racial discrimination existed. Well, the quickest
way... We're approaching 5 minutes in that.
Thank you. The quickest way to diffuse that carefully is that we each interact with each other as human beings. The denial effort will be diffused. You know, everybody's in denial about everything. Just treat each other like human beings, and the denial will dissipate, and we'll be able to upgrade in a lot of areas over that one little issue. Chris, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would care to address the board in public comment? Okay. Thank you then for those comments. We'll move on to the consent calendar, and all the items on the agenda that have an asterisk beside them are to be considered with one motion and vote. Is there anyone that cares to pull a consent item or ask questions? Then please come forward and let us know what your concern is.
Excuse me. I'm Keith Spencer. I'm here on behalf of CLSA, and I would like to pull B3.
Okay. You can just stay there. We'll go ahead and take action on the rest of the consent calendar, and then we'll come back to B3. Not seeing any concerns from the board, could we entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar?
Second.
We have a motion from Supervisor Monteith, a second from Supervisor O'Brien. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, our motion carries 5-0. And now back to B3. Could you state the nature of your concern, please?
Well, sir, I was called by Aaron Smith, the president of CLSA, this morning and asked to come down here and make sure that everybody received copies of the letter that they sent addressing this item.
Okay, we all did receive it. We received it by email, and then it was printed and passed out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me make sure they got here. And copies of the additional
the LA County letter, stuff.
The detailed letter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he wanted me to be here and to be here to answer any questions.
Okay.
That you might have,
I don't think I have any questions. I was in a meeting with you and some of your colleagues, and we did make some language changes. And I'm actually comfortable based on that conversation that we had that the changes are appropriate. They may not be agreed to by all the members of your organization, but at least it raises the accountability of the county surveyor directly to the director of public works, and that whoever that is must be licensed. And from my standpoint, that satisfies me. I don't know if any other board members have questions or concerns. It looks like we're okay, and we appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then Chair will entertain a motion. And Mr. Doolin, I understand this will come back for second reading in a near term.
That's correct. The law requires it to be brought back for second reading at least 5 days after the first introduction here.
Okay, thank you. The motion for approval will be appropriate.
So moved.
The motion from Supervisor O'Brien, second from Supervisor Keja. Motion for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Next item is item B8, which is a request for approval to declare an emergency as a result of a fire in Barracks 1 and 2 at the Men's Honor Farm and approval to implement an immediate action plan to house inmates and to secure the facility. And it looks like, Tim, are you going to start this? Mr. Fedorchak.
Yes, I certainly can.
Thank you.
There we go. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Tim Fedorchak. I'm with the Chief Executive Office, Capital Projects Division. This item is requesting approval to declare an emergency as a result of a fire at the Men's Honor Farm in Barracks 1 and 2, and to approve an implementation of an immediate action plan to house inmates and to secure the facility. A fire occurred, unfortunately, on June 26th of this year, which destroyed two of the four barracks at the Honor Farm, Barracks 1 and 2. The Honor Farm is located at 8224 West Grayson Road, out on the west end of the county, next to Laird Park. The fire that occurred, as previously mentioned, I'll just flip through a couple slides real quick of the actual fire event, completely destroyed the building, and the subsequent investigation found that it was likely due to the fault of a mechanical system within the building, part of the ventilation system within the building. The not only the building, but the contents were totally destroyed in the fire. There were fortunately no injuries in the fire, although the buildings and the contents were a total loss. The building was insured by the county with a deductible of $10,000. If there is a shining light within the event itself, that was that the facility was not at full capacity. There were 86 inmates at the facility at the time of the fire out of a total capacity of 370 beds. 172 of those beds were lost in Barracks 1 and 2, and the staff were able to take steps to move those inmates into Barracks 3 and 4, the portions of Barracks 4 that are occupiable, and so thereby housing the inmates on site after the facility was secure. The Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division has been and will continue to be working with the on behalf of the county to settle the claim with the insurers. I'd like to point out that we've got Kevin Watson and Peggy Hunziger from the Risk Management Division, as well as Lieutenant Jennifer Hudson, available to answer your questions about the operations at the Honor Farm after the fire occurred. We have six specific recommendations. One is to declare an emergency as a result of the fire, which destroyed Barracks 1 and 2 at the Honor Farm. Number two was to authorize the sheriff and the chief executive officer to implement an immediate action plan to house inmates displaced as a result of Barracks 1 and 2 being destroyed. Recommendation number three is to authorize the chief executive officer or his designee to contract for professional services to assist with the negotiation of a settlement. Those specifically would include to hire cost estimating services on behalf of the county, and also a consultant that could assist us with the development of the requirements for a replacement facility, given that the building not only has to meet building code standards, but the standards of the state's correction standards authority relative to, you might recognize those as being from the department, formerly the Department of Corrections. And so those standards would be employed in the identification of the cost value of the property, which would then be replaced. Item number four, or recommendation number four, would be to authorize the Chief Executive Officer Risk Management Division to negotiate an advance payment with the county's insurer to fund the initial project costs and to ensure that the site is safe and secure, and along those lines, to aid in the promotion or aid in the completion of the demolition planning and design services for a replacement facility. Recommendation number five would be to authorize the Chief Executive Officer to negotiate with the insurer for the abatement, demolition, and removal of debris. And they would do that directly through the insurance company. Recommendation number six being to authorize the sheriff to designate a transition sergeant to coordinate transitional activities contingent upon funding and reimbursement from the county's insurer. With that, I'll leave you with an image of the actual reconstruction of Barracks 3 back in the 60s. This is they're all built about the same era. Barracks 3 was rebuilt in the 60s, we think. And I'm not sure exactly what the original date of construction of buildings 1 and 2 were, but likely in the 20s to 30s. So that's our item today.
Okay, any questions of staff?
No.
Go ahead. It's more of a comment, not a question, but I would hope that as we look at this plan and we move forward, that we at least take a look at relocating the Honor Farm. I know we have issues out there with, you know, there's certainly quite a few issues. And I hope, I'm speaking off the cuff because I'm not sure if it's possible or plausible, but locating everything into a more central location needs to be studied.
Along those lines, we've already had initial conversations with the insurer and the third-party administrator who gave us some pretty promising feedback that we'd be able to get full replacement value of the facility, not just square foot per square foot, but replacement of the actual beds as they have to be constructed to the Correction Standard Authority requirements, which would be significantly greater than just replacement of the existing facility as it was. They also opened the door, although did not confirm the potential that the facility or the capacity could be replaced at the existing site. And there's some ongoing negotiation work that needs to be done to secure that ability. Once those negotiations or those parameters around the settlement are firmly established, we'll begin to develop a plan of action to replace. So this emergency action would take us only through the point of being able to negotiate with the insurer, but after that we'll develop a standard capital projects process for establishing a plan for the replacement of those beds in some capacity and wherever those happen to be, whether the Honor Farm is the best solution or whether the Public Safety Center is the best solution. We'll come back and have that discussion and make a recommendation specifically back to this board.
Supervisor O'Brien.
I just wanted to make one compliment, and that was to the custodial duties on duty that day to get the evacuation and get everybody out of there with no injuries. And I think that's just important to compliment those officers, those deputies on duty.
Thank you. Anybody from the audience care to comment on this item? If not, I think it would be appropriate to entertain a motion to approve the six recommended items.
So moved for the six recommended items.
Second.
We have a motion from Supervisor Akeza, second from Supervisor O'Brien. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Motion carries 5-0. item C1 is from the Department of Public Works, and it's a request for approval of the Public Works Master Plan Needs Assessment. Mr. Machado, when you're ready.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring. I'm Matt Machado, Director of Public Works. And with me this morning is Nick Kolios. He is the principal of DSA. DSA is our consultant that completed this needs assessment and master plan. This morning, I would like to cover a fairly brief agenda. We'll cover project scope, existing conditions, planning assumptions, service demand, staff projections, building and site requirements, immediate needs, interim plan, plan implementation, plan costs, and next steps. And this is all relative to a master plan and needs assessment for the Public Works Department. This is an effort we've been working on almost since my arrival. When I joined the county about 3.5 years ago, we were looking at investing some considerable money into our yard for vehicle maintenance and security issues. But without a master plan, we felt like we didn't know how to best invest those monies. And so we went down this path to do a master plan and needs assessment for the long range. So this is a very long range plan, and it'll allow us to invest money properly, most efficiently. So to start, I'd like to cover a very brief project scope. This is a long range master plan. We call it a 20-year plan. 20-year plan is just our best guess with planning assumptions, and we'll cover those shortly. The scope included an evaluation of the site and facilities for continued use. It included the testing of the Morgan Road site to see if they had long-term site capacity. We looked at how we could consolidate our office functions at the Morgan Road facility. We looked at service demand, staff, vehicle forecasts, building space, site area programs. We looked at conceptual site plans to see how it could all come together in the future. We looked at an implementation plan and, of course, a cost to implement that plan in the future. To start with, I'd like to cover existing conditions. From a roads perspective, from road maintenance, bridge maintenance, we break the county up into four districts. You can see we have the dividing lines there. Currently, we have two satellite yards, one in Oakdale and one in Patterson. With our main yard at the Morgan site, we have two office spaces, one at Morgan and then one here at the 10th Street building. Just to pull you right down to the summary here, the combined totals for Public Works, we have about 18 acres in combination of all of our facilities with about 62,000 square feet of building, and that includes our maintenance buildings, our equipment shop. Looking at our existing Morgan Road site, you can see the buildings are outlined in red. Those include our maintenance buildings, our vehicle maintenance buildings, and our office space, and some additional uses at our Morgan Road site. Hazardous materials, they have their facility there, and then GSA has their carpenter shop there also. When we look at the existing Morgan Road site, we wanted to look if it had sufficient capacity to meet current needs. We wanted to look at if we had any surplus equipment materials that we could do some cleanup on. If we needed additional site area, if we could recover it from some of these storage facilities. Looked at circulation, if we could improve that. And we looked at how we share our space with other departments such as DER and GSA. What we concluded was that the structures on the facility, 11 of the 17 are in poor condition. Many of them were built 50, 60 or more years ago. Many of the metal buildings, the corrugated metal is actually rusting through on the roof, and so they've seen better days. They're towards the end of their life. We looked at the administration building. It is older and is not in the best condition, so we concluded some of those items. When we looked at our satellite facilities, we found that we have some limited capacity and location. We probably cannot meet our very long-term operational strategy and needs. And in some cases, it does conflict with surrounding use. The communities have grown around us. We've been there a very long time, and so we wanted to look at those conditions. So when we gathered up all the existing data, then we had to make some planning assumptions. And to be honest, planning assumptions are a funny thing because sometimes they can result in very conservative approach, which in this case, for this type of an assessment, we think that's the right way to go, to be a bit conservative, because then a 20-year plan, maybe it becomes a 25-year or a 30-year plan, and that's okay. You don't want to sell yourself short when you're conducting a study like this. And so even with our down economy, some of these assumptions may look a little strange because we're actually downsizing today, but that's okay because a long-range plan like this can sit more than 20 years. And so that's a good use of our resources today. So some of the, you see the assumptions here. We essentially want to track the overall population growth because that'll put more traffic on our roads. And some of the assumptions based upon that growth is that we feel like in the future we will need additional satellite facilities to properly serve the population. And then we also see in the way out future where parks and GSA would have to eventually relocate at another facility, that the space isn't there for them in the way out future, but nothing imminent today, so no changes today. Some of our anticipated operational changes that we see in the future as the needs occur would be in our heavy equipment shop. We could see in the way out future we may have to take over the servicing of our bus fleet. We look at maybe even some expansion in our smaller vehicles and heavy equipment for other departments if the need arises. When we look at some of our other functions like GIS, even though we're contracting it today, in the future that'll become a more critical component of county function, and we could see some expansion there. We could also see some expansion in the construction side of our business with materials lab, with survey, with our right-of-way group, and maybe even into our traffic signal maintenance as we grow that those components and inventories in our system. With that anticipated future needs, we looked at what the growth would be. We looked at the population growth of the county and how that could would increase vehicle trips. Those are the percentages. And to accommodate that growth, we looked at our staff needs in the way out future. And you can see it's a sizable increase in staff, but keep in mind, we wouldn't add staff until the need was truly there. So if the assumptions are conservative, then we just wait. We're not going to move until the need is there. But you can see with the new functions and the projected growth of the future, there will be a need for additional staff when the need's there and the financing is there. Some of the requirements at our Morgan Road site, space requirements, we would see a sizable increase in building area to accommodate the fleet maintenance, the heavy equipment maintenance of the transit buses, and the additional staff that we would need to accommodate that. You can see the how it breaks down in terms of where the need is. Fleet maintenance is the largest increase, and then with the new functions. And then to look at the satellite yards, when we look at the need to add two additional satellite yards, this would be the increase in those spaces. But then again, it's based on need. And so we wouldn't pursue that until there was a true need out there in the far reaches of the county. And then the implementation plan. And so the near-term plan, what we've looked at is an effort to consolidate much of our office space, and the purpose of that would be to improve our efficiencies. Right now with the separate offices, we do have quite a bit of lost time with travel, poor communication, file system conflicts, duplication of people and equipment. In fact, today, with the economy the way it is, we're actually down 10% in staffing, and it makes this even more critical today to consolidate, because with less people and trying to do the same level of service, we need to become more efficient. To follow with that downturn of staffing levels, we're also down on revenue. We're almost 10% down on our revenue stream also. So it really means we need to become more efficient, and we think this is the way to do that. Our consolidation, we're looking at the relocation of administration, engineering support, special services, our finance group, and our GIS group out to our Morgan facility. Part of this consolidation will require the placement of portable office space at the Morgan Road, and also we will need to relinquish some of our space downtown. We will always keep a presence downtown. We will be relocated on the fourth floor. We have space there with our transit group. We will continue to provide front desk service, customer service from downtown, as always, one-stop shop. But we will need to relinquish the space with the City of Modesto. They do have a desire. We We have a verbal agreement. We've done the proper planning, and we're ready to complete that task with an agreement. And so beyond that interim step of consolidation of our two office spaces becoming more efficient, some of the longer range implementation, which will be based upon need and finance plan, and I'll cover it quickly because we don't really know when it could happen due to our current economic state. But this would be our phase one when the need is there. And phase one would essentially be a new office space adjacent to our existing office space. S1 is the existing office. A, which is in the, it's a light pink, would be the new facility. And so we've just done a little bit of planning to see if it could be done in the future, and it certainly can from a space perspective and also from a constructability perspective. And then phase two, as the need continues and the county grows, would be to replace the maintenance buildings, the metal shops. This layout lends itself to a much better circulation plan where we can get in and out more safely, more efficiently, more quickly. And then, of course, the build-out would include the final buildings of the maintenance buildings and the final security and circulation elements. And I wanted to point out, in the long-range plan, you'll see in the bottom left there of the triangle that the hazardous waste folks, we do plan for them to stay with their own space, their own parking facility. Currently, we share that space, and it does result in some conflict. So we think this is a good plan for them also. A little bit about this implementation plan in terms of phasing and timing. This is really rough, and probably the most important thing on this page is at the bottom where we talk about schedule will be dependent on, and I almost should have reversed it, need and then funding. You've got to have the need, and then you have to figure out how to finance it. Clearly, the need's not there today with our state, but this is a rough feel for what those costs would be and what the schedule could be. But there's a whole lot of other factors going into this, and so we're not asking for approval on this part of it today. This is just a glimpse of what the future could bring to us, but all of these dates could go out 5 years. It just really depends on where the economy and the community goes. And then this is a little more detailed summary of the same numbers with the same total implementation plan cost. And then I wanted to finish up with just a correction. It's actually in the staff report. And in the staff report on page 3, there is a discussion about how we will continue the one-stop shop at the 10th Street facility here downtown. But it also talks about a transition out of that one-stop shop, and that's not the case at all. That was 6 months ago. We thought we could maybe pull off a transition and conduct our customer service from Morgan. We don't think that's possible. There's too much investment downtown. Everybody's here. We want to stay here. And so one correction on page 3 is that we do not plan to transition our permitting out of the downtown facility. We will always have our office space here. We'll continue to serve the public here with our other county partners, county department partners, and City of Modesto. And then I guess just to final up here, and I'm happy to answer any questions, but today our request and our staff recommendation is to accept this Public Works Master Plan Needs Assessment to authorize the purchase of modular office space and furnishings for our Morgan Road site to complete our consolidation, to direct the auditor controller to establish the budget, and to authorize myself to negotiate an agreement with the City of Modesto for our relinquished space off the third floor. So that's our request today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of staff? Supervisor O'Brien.
I have a couple. First of all, of the 4,500 square feet that you're going to give up here, how much is that going to City of Modesto versus County Fire Protection?
I believe the fire district was going to take about 1,200, and then the city was going to take the rest.
Okay. And I just haven't heard the need for the fire protection needing more room, so that's quite a surprise to me.
Okay.
Second, today's authorization we're giving you is only for that modular building. phase two, phase three, we're going to talk about this a whole lot more in the future, a whole lot more discussion.
Absolutely correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
I just had one about the Patterson Satellite Office. I understand you're going to be removed the building from Patterson and move it over to Morgan Road.
That's correct. Some time ago, when we were reducing our staffing levels, we had a hard time staffing that facility, and so we brought our folks back to Morgan about a year ago, just to manage the best we could with less people. We're down 10% staffing, so that building's been vacant for some time, and so it makes sense to bring the facility back to our yard and use it for the bodies we have left. The yard will be there. We'll continue to use it for equipment storage, material storage. I think there's a small storage building that will stay there, almost like a small garage. That will stay there, but the office will not.
Can you share that site facility with the Agriculture Department, too, because they've been there in the Resource Conservation District meets there. Is that all owned by the Public Works, or is it split with the Ag Department?
No, Public Works owns that 100%, and I don't know the exact coordination there, but I know our folks are in contact with those agencies, and I don't know what they worked out to continue to meet in that area, possibly at City Hall. I can check into that and get back to you on that one.
Okay, maybe you can do that.
Sure.
And I know the West Tansas Resource Conservation District has an office there.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, the Agriculture Department used to use that building, but they've since moved out, and the Resource Conservation District's moved in. Public Works is moving out, and I am concerned about I'd like to be informed on what the status of that's going to be in the future.
Absolutely. I'll find out and let you know.
Mr. Fedorchak, you walked all the way from the back. You have something you'd like to share with us?
Chairman Grover, I just thought maybe I could help out a little bit. Supervisor DeMartini said was absolutely right, that the Ag Commissioner did occupy the other building at the site on First Street in Patterson. And Mr. Machado correctly identified that the modular facilities out there have been vacated. It's about a 3-acre piece of property that's located on the site. There may be some opportunity for some asset management as a result of the underutilization of that property at some point in the future, but I'm not sure the market's there in terms of, like a lot of the properties that we're looking at in an asset management sense, that the market's been a little tough in terms of selling properties as well. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, just one other comment, you know, because I'm very familiar with the site because it's in my district, and the Environmental Resources uses that site sometimes to collect hazardous material, paint and household pesticides. That's used occasionally. Resource Conservation District is there. And sometimes there's equipment parked there, too. So it'll
continue to be a secure site that us and other departments can continue to use. So I don't see a change in a lot of those uses.
Okay. Supervisor Brian, did you have another question?
Yeah, I'm back. So we're moved the Patterson office. Looks like we did the Oakdale one as well.
Yes.
And how big is this new building that we want to put there?
Well, it's what you would call a triple wide, and so it's essentially the three trailers, and they put them together, and that would accommodate our road crews. They need a space to meet in the morning and in the afternoon, and the supervisors of the road crews need an office space to conduct their work.
And I thought I read in here that road crews are still going to be decentralized.
Well, long term, that's correct. In the short term, with 10% less staff, we're having a hard time keeping those people out in the far reaches, and so we've consolidated them back to the Morgan Yard. Just from a pure staffing perspective, long term, yes. We would actually envision four satellite yards to meet the needs of the future. But for today, with our funding levels being down 10% and staffing down 10%, that skeleton crew is not very efficient. And so we've been able to meet the needs of today very well with that consolidation at Morgan.
Okay.
Yep. Are there any comments from the audience regarding this agenda item? You see, and then we'll consider some sort of a motion here.
I'll just make comment that I'm just a little bit of concern spending $180,000 on a modular building. Right now, we need every dollar we can on those roads of road money, public work money out there. I get constant calls, and I'm sure you guys do too, of road conditions. I don't know. I got a little bit of concern.
Other concerns or a motion?
Well, I had the same comment there. The $180,000 for a modular building, it just seemed like it was out of line to me. I don't know why it's that much.
If I may comment on that cost, that's the budget authority we're requesting. Actually, bids are coming in about half that. We didn't want to sell ourselves short for furnishings, but I'm certain we're not going to spend the full amount. We don't want to sell ourselves short on the budget authority either, but we think we will absolutely deliver it for less. I don't know how much less yet, because we don't have all the numbers in and we haven't given any authorization on anything for that expense, but we're fairly certain it'll be well under budget.
Now, maybe we ought to reduce that down to $100,000, and if you need more than that, you can come back to the board.
The other concern I had was the 1,200 square foot that fire protection is going to increase. As we know, there are layoffs in fire warden's office as well. So how does that all work? And like I said, this agenda item is the first I've heard of a need there. So I just have some concerns.
Supervisor Monteith.
I know in the report here it states that anticipation that vacating the third floor office space on 10th Street Place will result in a net annual savings to Public Works approximately $30,000. So is that, are we deducting the savings from expenditure, or what are we doing?
Yeah, well, that's the net savings, and that's the theory behind...
That's per year?
Yeah, that's per year, and that's the theory behind the new expenditure of the modular space. You know, the rate of return is really good, actually. Even at $180,000 expense today, that's a 6-year payoff. And if we secure less budget authority, and we certainly would spend less than the $180,000, we'll even be in a better position. So we think long term, we will actually have more money available for road maintenance. And so we think it's a little pain up front, but it will absolutely pay off in the short term and the long term. So we think it's financially a wise move.
And I would agree with that if we were renting that from someone other than ourselves, but we own half the building. So we will continue to pay for that 1,200 increase for fire protection, 1,200 square foot. So we're still renting from government.
Department.
Public Works will save money, but government in general will spend more.
Supervisor Kaza and Mr. Robinson, maybe you could address the fire warden issue as soon as Supervisor Kaza is finished.
I guess that's probably where I'm going for lack of a... I mean, I don't want this to be a silly question, but do we fund all of the fire warden's office? Is that...
The funding for the fire warden, and this is specifically the Fire Prevention Bureau, is funded out of our less than county-wide fire tax. Currently, it's a contract with the fire warden's office, but that contract could be let to any of a number of agencies. At this time, we haven't positively determined that the fire warden will go in that space, but it's my understanding that if the fire warden doesn't go, that the city of Modesto has already indicated that they would take that space.
You know, I believe that's certainly possible. We don't have that inked yet. They've inked the rest of it, but we will continue that conversation, and maybe Tim could shed some light on the fire service, what they're really planning to do here.
Right. Just to clarify, the Chief Henshaw from the OES, from the Office of Emergency Services, has requested that the Fire Prevention Bureau, or at least a couple workstations of those staff that are currently located at the 3705 Oakdale Road facility, be located, take advantage of some of the space being vacated by Public Works so that they could be close to the permit counter. And so, you know, is there a net increase in space? Well, it would be contingent on finding another use for the space that they're vacating at 3705. And we're working on a plan with our, which we have not yet been able to fully identify but and come to the board with, but on another use for that potential space. But the objective would be to locate those staff close to the permit counter so they can be more responsive to visitors who are using the permit counter.
And this is part of our ongoing attempt to establish a one-stop permitting system. And one of the reasons that Public Works will maintain a presence at 10th Street Place.
Mr. Robinson, can you give clarity on it looks like there's 1,200 square foot at a couple bucks a square foot a month, kind of in limbo.
Yeah, and I...
Something you're comfortable going forward with as part of a resolution today that's undetermined? Is that what your recommendation is?
Yeah, I think that we can go forward. There certainly will be a need for that space. I am not certain, and I spoke with our Public Works Director about this, I'm not certain that the user of that space is going to in its entirety be our Fire Prevention Bureau, however, and Matt is fully aware of that, that is a concern that I expressed. I do think the overall plan with a six-year repayment period is a good plan and meets the long-term objective of the Department of Public Works and will solve what I think is an ongoing problem in managing staff resources with the Department of Public Works. So I think it's a good step in the right direction. We haven't fully reconciled where that 1,200 feet will go. We know that some portion of it will be used by the Fire Prevention Bureau and funded from other than the county's general fund. But I know that as the responsible party for the Fire Prevention Bureau and Fire Warden's Office, I'm not yet ready to commit to occupying that 1,200 feet.
Okay, but we know that if the Fire Warden doesn't and the City of Modesto doesn't, then Public Works is still on the
hook. We'll be on the hook for it.
So, and I think Matt's well aware of that and doesn't want that.
The next question would be how long before that determination? Are we just talking a couple of months or weeks or 6 months or 7 months? Before that determination is made, or will it take a year?
Well, we, and I can speak only briefly for capital projects relative to the IT site that is being considered for 3705 Oakdale. If that moves forward, which we believe there's a high likelihood that it will because it seems to be a prime solution to a long-term problem that the county has had managing its current IT infrastructure, then there will be an immediate and long-term benefit to the entire county and will necessitate a move of more staff from the Fire Prevention Bureau to 1010 10th Street. There are certainly some moving parts still unaccounted for at this time, but even saying that, I think that this is the right move to address Mr. Machado's issue of efficiently allocating staff to the projects for which funding has been identified and allocated.
Okay. Supervisor O'Brien and Keyes, is there more discussion on the warden issue?
Well, more and more is coming into light here because as we heard that some will be moving out of 3705, then the question would be, okay, how's 3705 funded? But now IT may go in there, so how's 801 funded? So it's a moving target, and I'm not saying I won't be comfortable in time, but I certainly don't feel I have the information today.
Okay. Supervisor Martini, you had something additional?
I just want to go back to that $180,000 for this building. Okay. Would you be comfortable with $100,000 and have to come back to this board if you need more as you get the bids in?
I think that'll get us the structure. I don't know that it'll get us the furnishings and getting all of our IT set up in there. If we could find somewhere in the middle there, I'm certain we can make it work in, say, the $140,000 range, halfway between the $100,000 and $180,000. I know the $180,000 was a relatively high number. We'd rather budget high and deliver for less, but I think $100,000 may cut us a little short on some of the furnishings and IT needs.
Well, I think that we really should cut it down because not that you're not a good manager, but if we give you $180,000 to spend, I just have the feeling that it'll be more than what it could be if we had it less.
So Supervisor DeMartini, so I understand, on staff recommendation number 3, you'd like to insert a cap that's not there now?
Yes, I would. Yes. I'd like to put a cap in there. I don't know, but $125,000 is what I'd like to put in there. If you can't do it, you can come back and ask for more, but I just can't see the $180,000 spent on something like that.
Okay, are you interested in trying a motion on the 4 items with that?
Yeah, with that cap at $125,000.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, we have a motion from Supervisor DeMartini, a second from Supervisor Chiesa. He's added a $125,000 cap, and what I heard pretty loudly was, if we get some real numbers in here, then don't be fearful of coming back and asking enough to finish it up. Okay, we have a motion for approval on the 4 items as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay, so 4-1.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're ready now for correspondence.
This board has received a portion of the Stanislaus County Grant Civil Grand Jury's 2009-10 report.
Refer to the Chief Executive Officer, County Council, Community Services Agency, Chief Probation Officer, and the Sheriff.
This board has received from the State Water Resources Control Board a notice of petition for temporary change involving the transfer of water from the Merced Irrigation District to 4 state water contractor agencies.
Refer to the Department of Public Works, the Department of Planning and Community Development, the Department of Environmental Resources, and the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the United Domestic Workers of America regarding in-home supportive services fraud unit.
Refer this to the Chief Executive Office, the District Attorney, and the Community Services Agency.
This board has received a copy of the State Board of Equalization's 2008-09 Annual Report.
Refer this to the Assessor and the Assessment Appeals Board.
This board has received a letter from Zip Realty regarding layoffs of California employees on August 31st, 2010.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNet and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a fact sheet from the State Department of Toxic Substances regarding the Draft Removal Action Work Plan for the proposed special education alternative educational school site located on the northeast corner of the intersection of Hartley Street and Walnut Avenue in Patterson, California.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received the U.S. Department of Interior petition for temporary change permits for the Freyette Division of the Central Valley Project of California.
Refer to the Department of Public Works, the Department of Planning and Community Development, the Department of Environmental Resources, and the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received a copy of the June 2010 RCAC's Rural Review from the Rural Community Assistance Corporation.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of the claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports today? It doesn't appear that there are. Mr. Robinson, could we get a legislative, fiscal, and management report, please?
Very briefly, the legislature is in recess for the month of July, so they're not meeting. Legislative leadership, Democrats and Republicans are meeting separately to discuss the number of realignment proposals that would affect both our human services and public safety programs. However, no definitive report has been forthcoming in the last week to 10 days. CSAC's realignment task force will be meeting in person tomorrow and has been working on an ongoing basis in individual committees looking at the impacts and implications of the various realignment proposals that both the Democrats and Republicans have put on the table. We have nothing definitive. We feel very strongly that realignment will be part of any budget solution. We are trying to do the best that we can as a public agency not to be left with the responsibility of fully funding all of the realigned programs, which seems to be an underlying motivation of some of the leadership and certainly a source of concern. The LAO's office proposal does have a shift of program responsibilities with an accompanying shift of financial responsibility to the tune of between $4 and $5 billion statewide. And we know that as county agencies, we simply cannot afford to absorb not only our diminished discretionary revenue issues, but also the state of California's failure to manage its own budget resources over the last several years.
Yep, thank you. That concludes our open session agenda. We have a closed session, and Mr. Doring, could you outline that, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session conference with a labor negotiator. The agency negotiator is Richard Robinson, and the labor organizations are those noted in the agenda. We do not expect to report out.
Okay. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.